peace. Spiritual fruit, the third in the list in the Galatians of spiritual fruits, peace. Not just any interpretation of what peace means, because the world has a world of ways of thinking about what peace is. But Christ said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Spiritual peace is different than the world's peace. Usually when we think about peace from a worldly standpoint, we're thinking about just like a cessation of hostilities. We see things going on the news, we just wish if they could just stop, then that would be peace, and that would be good. But the spiritual peace that Christ offers is way more than that. It includes that, of course, but way more. In some parts, some ways that people think about peace have nothing to do with a spiritual peace. They're not really even peace. They're just one side overwhelming the other side and controlling or overtaking and forcing the other side to submit. That's not really peace. We get everybody to stop for a little bit, but that's not really the peace of Christ among us either, is it? And sometimes that's necessary, and sometimes it's unnecessary. And when it is, then war breaks out and everything else, whether it's between individuals or nations. That's not the kind of peace that Christ is talking about either. It's not just the absence of conflict and with whatever costs that come along with that. But it's the kind of peace that was demonstrated by Jesus when he was going out across the raging waters there with his disciples and sleep in the back of the boat. They woke him up because they were so afraid of perishing, and he spoke to the storm and said, "Peace, be still." That kind of peace. The peace that brings everything to harmony, that settles everything into a perfect harmony. And you can just see all the levels of peace in that story, can't you, with the storm, where there's a peace within, there's peace around them, with amongst them, and even a peace with creation, with nature around. And everything is brought into an alignment, and there is peace. He arose, he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still," and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And so it is in our lives, this spiritual peace that is a gift of the Spirit and is a fruit of the Spirit working in us, then is that kind of a peace that in the midst of storms brings harmony. Jesus one time said something that almost might sound contradictory to the rest of what he had to say about peace and the whole imagery of peace in the Scriptures, when he said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." That just kind of is in contrast with everything else that he said about peace. If we think about it, though, in terms of dividing the people who want that kind of peace that he is offering from the ones that want something else, anything else, then that's what he's talking about in terms of the division there. And there has always been a conflict over that, between those that were following Christ and the peace that he offers and those that wanted the kinds of peace that the world offers. And it's kind of like where Paul was telling Timothy, rightly dividing the word of truth, that kind of a division where we're dividing out, and this is the peace of Christ. All the rest of the kinds of peace are either completely wrong, completely in opposition to his peace, or at least inadequate. Not what he is offering us as a spiritual fruit. He's offering us perfect peace. It's a harmony. In some ways it could be a tranquility, but sometimes it's not always tranquil. Sometimes that peace within stirs things up at the same time. And getting there, bringing about that peace, because we can't just like ignore the situations that disrupt the peace of Christ, or we can't just turn our back on the atrocities and the injustices in the world that prevent peace. Tranquility isn't quite it. It's the kind of peace that was seen in the day of Pentecost when the followers of Jesus were locked up in a room. They were afraid of what might happen, not 100% sure of what had happened. Not sure of the direction the Lord would be taking them. Not sure how he would empower them. Stirred up about everything. And yet they came together and they prayed every day for the church. As they prayed there, they were harmonized. They were brought into one accord. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in that place. A little over twice as many people as what we have here today. All gathered together in a room, and they were praying, and they were waiting with expectation to see what God would do when they heard that sound of a mighty rushing wind, filling the place where they were, and the tongues of fire came down on their head, and their prayers turned into multilingual prayers that echoed out and spilled out into the community around them, into the world around them, and into the generations to follow them from that moment to this. That kind of peace, harmony, to be in one accord. Not necessarily in agreement, not all being in the same political party or having the same views about how social economic issues should be addressed, not having even the same religious beliefs or speaking the same language in any dimension of our lives. And just on and on, we could list all the differences that we have that harmony and peace is not. When the musicians play their instruments and everybody plays these different notes on different instruments, hopefully, we try anyway to be in one accord. We try to play notes that are going to be in harmony with one another, and then it becomes a beautiful thing, all the different sounds coming together because of their differences. They all come together and it becomes harmonious chord. That's what we are invited into in the peace of Christ, is to be brought into harmony within ourselves, with each other, and with the world around us, the whole creation. And not only to be brought into that place, but to bring each other into it, to work on it ourselves, to bring others into it, and to help others come into this. St. Gregory of Nyssa said, peace is defined as harmony among those who are divided. When therefore we end the civil war within our nature and cultivate peace within ourselves, we become at peace. St. James wrote that wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we're invited today to plant the seeds of peace, first in prayer, as in, that's kind of a pattern developing there, isn't there? We plant the seeds of the fruits of the Spirit in prayer. We begin there, we go there, we go to the storehouse of the Lord, we get us the seeds that we want to plant, and we begin planting them right there in prayer as we pray for peace and pray for our own peace and the peace in the world. And world peace, and peace for our family and our friends, and all they're going through struggles and turmoils. And we name them person by person, heart by heart, issue by issue, and nation by nation, lifting them up wherever there is a struggle, a discord, and we name that, and we plant those seeds in prayer of harmony. We learn from the Prince of Peace, his teachings, his view, his way and manner of being with people, from his birth until the cross, and to his resurrection until this hour, the peace of Christ be with you. We share that with each other and pass that peace as we symbolically do in the worship service as sort of a sacramental sign as we turn to one another and we shake each other's hand and we say the peace of Christ be with you and we smile and hug and we say kind things to one another. That's a sign, isn't it, of God's peace at work among us and within us, and that he is bringing us into harmony more and more all the time. And then as we go forth into the community and carry that sense of harmony and peace with us wherever we go, then we are sharing that peace of Christ. So we cultivate that. You know, a big part of cultivating peace is intentionally working to remove the obstacles of peace, whether they be within ourselves or in our relationships or in the world. In society, there are so many conflicts, and however that we can contribute to their resolution is a way of moving out those obstacles to world peace. There might be something that we can say or do in a conversation or in a prayer or even in a letter that we might write or an email that we might send or whatever. We might be able to address ourselves to think of, to point out a direction. Wherever we can resist oppression and wherever that we can address issues of injustice, of poverty and racism and inequity under the law, social and economic and political and even religious inequities, that we, where we see them and we think about how can we address them in some way. And we may be only able to just touch one little note on that cord, but it's ours to touch. And we can do something, we can say something, we can be something. In our relationships with each other, where there's anger and selfishness and arguing, and where people are suppressing each other or holding each other back for whatever reasons, we can interrupt that. Ourselves, it would be best, or as we see that happening, and see how can we gently and peaceably interrupt that kind of relationship and make it help get it on a peaceful course, or within us, within our own hearts, the sin in our lives. Clearing that out, and the fears that rise up in our hearts and minds, and the doubt and unbelief that can be torturous. All of this, the Bible says, perfect love casteth out all fear. Wherever we can address that with perfect love and peace and harmony, then we are like what Jesus told us to be in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes. Said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So we seek peace intentionally, decisively, peace within ourselves, and cultivate peace with the people that we know, our family, our friends, co-workers, and others, and support peace efforts that we can identify in society that go along with things that we believe in and that we feel that we can support. Foster that environment and encourage people who are not at peace with themselves in whatever way that they need to be encouraged to have the peace of Christ that passeth understanding. That peace that passes understanding is an interesting phrase, because when we're at peace with Christ and with each other and the world and creation, it doesn't really have a thorough explanation to it. Because sometimes people can be at peace in the midst of all kinds of turmoil, can't they? In the midst of heartache. It's just like when we were talking about joy in the midst of sorrow. Well, peace in the midst of all kinds of turbulence going on around us. And yet, let that peace of Christ dwell in our thinking, in our feelings, in our spirit. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit working within us, that we can have that peace. Paul wrote about it being complete, and he put, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can extend that kind of peace outward around us, like that song says, let there be peace on earth. The image of the tree of life in the city of New Jerusalem has those leaves for the healing of the nations. What do you think about when you think about the healing of the nations? But peace. Peace between the nations, that these issues that are on the news every day, that they would be resolved. Instead, we see people at each other all the time, and they have that worldly notion of peace. That whoever can, if one of them can finally just annihilate the rest of them, then there will be peace. But that's not really what Christ is going for, what he's calling us to. Actually, those words all kind of work together. If you study the word peace and find it as brought out in the New Testament dictionaries of these words, peace and harmony, shalom, healing, salvation, they all come out of a little common core of ancient vocabulary. That's what God is inviting us to. A wholeness, a completion, a harmony and togetherness that heals our divisions as nations, as individuals, as families, within our own hearts and minds. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he has put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, to those who were near." Well, I'd like to close this morning with a hymn text that is familiar at Christmas, but not so much the rest of the year. Think about these words from this familiar hymn. "It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music flows o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever over its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, you men of strife, and hear the angels sing. And ye, beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing. Peace. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Amen.